Friday, and so we're glad for him, and really appreciative of his service in the military. We're going to talk a little bit more about Gary later on. He's going to be embarrassed out of the No, he's we really do appreciate that very much. But what a great blessing for he and Nikki in that promotion. He's done a really, really great job. As we're talking about living for Jesus, one of the things that we've been saying and looking at is the fact that the world is full of corruption. The world is, in its ways, are full of sin and just all kinds of evil stuff that's going on around us today. The problem that we have is that too many Christians aren't a whole lot different than the way that the world is living. In fact, a lot of Christians are kind of, as we've been saying, are living kind of this idea, Christianity life. I want some of God, but I don't want all of God, and I only want God in the parts of my life that I want Him in. The rest of them I want Him to leave alone, you see? So it's kind of that light Christianity that a lot of folks are content to live with, and that's creating a lot of problems in our world more and more, that those who are trying to live for Christ truly from the heart, that we end up experiencing more and more problems because of too many who aren't really trying to live the way that they should. A lot of Christians, when it comes to the Bible, this is their attitude towards that. And we've been talking about, I want to read the Bible, but only the parts that I like. And so they pick and choose the parts that they like, and the rest of it they leave alone. We live in a world that is, I think the best way to describe it, is very dysfunctional. Okay? And so the issue, and part of the questions that we're trying to look at and answer in this study is, how do we as Christians live in this dysfunctional world that we exist in? A world that basically has turned everything upside down. That dysfunctional is now the new functional, as we've been saying. In other words, things that used to be wrong not too long ago are now right, and things that were right are now wrong as far as our culture and our society, as far as the world is concerned. So how do you and I, as God's people, live in this kind of an environment? And we're talking about living a godly life in the ungodly world that we live in. And then in that, what we've been focusing on is asking the question, how does what we do affect other people? So, in other words, how do we live our lives? How does that affect our home life, our family? Okay, the way that we respond to the world. Or how about the folks in our neighborhood, our neighbors? How does our life affect them? The folks, if you're going to school, what about your schoolmates and the people in your school? How does the way you live and respond to Jesus affect them? And what about on your job? And of course, we've also been talking about the whole idea of our own, ourselves personally. How does, you know, the way that we're living, it affects us in our daily lives now, but also it affects us for eternity. Because the way that we live now will determine where we will be for all eternity. So these are some really important questions that we need to be addressing. So we're talking about, again, how do we live a holy life in a very unholy world, living for Jesus? This morning we're going to be talking about living in agape. Okay, living in agape. We begin by talking about commands versus suggestions. Okay, now, you know, we have a military here, and thankfully for people like Gary and the rest of you who are veterans and served in the military, we thank you for your service. I don't know if you realize this or not, probably most everybody does, but we have now in America an all-volunteer military. Okay, that's different from, you know, those of us who were older when we were growing up. There was a draft, okay? And when I was just finishing high school, you know, I didn't quite get my draft number, but it was on its way before we got out of the war in Vietnam and everything's over. And we don't have a draft anymore. So everybody that is in the military today, we don't have that draft that was there anymore. It's gone. So those who are in the military are serving by choice. Okay? They made a choice to give themselves to the military service. All right? Now, when they made that choice, then this also happened. They became the property of the United States government. And that's why, if you're in the military, they don't like for you to go and have surgery a whole lot, right? Because then you get things changed and moved from when you first signed up, and they're like, wait a minute, you're messing with our property. And we don't want you doing that without our permission. Because they're kind of sticky about that kind of stuff because you belong to them. When you sign up for the military, you are theirs. All right, now, when you're in the military, is this right, Gary? You follow orders, not suggestions, right? In other words, the commander doesn't come to you and say, you know, I was thinking about so-and-so, what do you think? They don't do that in the military. The commander comes and says, here's your orders, do this, and what's the response that they give? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, right? Okay, that's they follow orders. They're not given very many suggestions at all. Okay, now, when orders are followed in the military, all right, then usually the mission gets accomplished, and oftentimes, depending on what that mission is, lives are saved because people follow orders. Now, when orders are not followed in the military, then sometimes lives are lost. And at the very least, if you don't follow orders, then you face some kind of punishment. Okay? Because the military is all about following orders. You do what you are told. And there are results of that, good results or bad results, depending on whether or not you follow the orders. Now, let's talk about the Lord's armor. All right. If you are a Christian, if you have called upon Jesus as your Lord and you've been baptized into Christ and washed your sins away, all right, then you are in the Lord's armor.
Amen.
And here's the thing you've got to remember about this. You volunteered for that. Okay? Everybody with me? You signed up. It was your choice. Nobody forced you to become a Christian. Nobody forced you to join the Lord's army. Amen. It's totally by choice. And that's how God wants it to be. All right? God never made anybody choose Him at all. Because that's not His way. He gave us a free will. He calls upon us and invites us to join, but He does not force us to do so. So it is entirely our choice. Everybody with me so far? Now, when you give your life to Christ and you join His army, then you become His property. All right? You become His. The Apostle Paul puts it this way. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Look at this. He says, you are not your own. Who do you belong to?
God.
You belong to Him. Okay? Because you were bought at a price. Therefore, he says, honor God with your body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. So when you join God's army, you no longer belong to you. So are you seeing kind of where this is going? All right? That's talking about we need to be following Him. And who's in charge of the Lord's army, by the way? You or Him? Okay? All right? You see, being in the Lord's army, we need to understand we follow orders, not suggestions, just like in the military. In other words, when God spoke with Moses on Mount Sinai, He did not give him the 10 suggestions. All right? God did not get with Moses and say, you know, again, here's kind of what I'm thinking about. What do you think, Moses? And maybe you can take these down to the people and see what they think. Didn't happen that way. They're called the 10 commandments for a reason. Because the Lord is the one who decided how things ought to be.
Amen.
And those in the Lord's army, our duty is to
follow
the orders, okay? When we, as people in God's army, His children, His people, when we follow orders, lives are saved, okay? lives are saved when we do what God tells us to do. Primarily because one of the things He's told us to do is to go out and to tell other people about Him, right? And that's how lives are saved. So, you know, this kind of take off from the Geico commercials, you can save millions of people on earth by switching to Jesus. All right? And that's what we want to try to do, is help people to switch to Jesus so their lives can be saved. When we don't follow His orders, then lives are lost eternally. So you see, it's very, very much like being in the military service, isn't it? We follow orders, not suggestions. Now, let's talk about what those orders are. Agape, or love one another. Okay, agape being, as we've talked about many times in the past, one of the several words in the Greek language for love, being the strongest form of love that the Bible speaks of. Jesus said this, a new what?
Command
I give you. And that command is to love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Now, again, this is not a suggestion, is it? Do you see the word suggestion anywhere in that passage? He says, you know, I think you get along better if you just love one another. What do you think? No. He tells His disciples, which is you and I, I'm commanding you to love one another. So what is our response and what should it be?
Yes, sir.
Well, it's easier said than done, though, isn't it? And so we need to talk about, well, what does that really mean? And again, how do we do that? That's the point of this whole study. How do we keep this command that God has given us? Now, here's one of the things that you have to keep in mind about commands. All right? Now, when the folks at the top give commands, they go where? They go down, right? And usually the commands, sometimes in the military, Gary, I'm sure you'll agree with this, sometimes in the military, the folks at the bottom know better than what's at the top. And we go, who in the world came up with that? Right? Never happened, Gary? Yeah, it happens a lot, doesn't it? All right? Okay. But generally speaking, the folks at the lower echelon don't really have the whole total battle map. They don't know all the things that are going on that the commanders at the top do. So they send down orders, and that's why it's important to just obey the orders when you don't really know everything that's going on. And you know, folks, I don't know everything that God's got going on. I don't know the whole big picture of things like He does. And so He says, here's a command. I want you to follow this. Because He knows better how it's going to work than you and I do. So instead of trying to figure out why and make excuses and all those kind of things, we just need to follow this command. All right, because it is a command. Obedience is not optional. Not for those who belong to Christ. All right? Now, let me go back here. We're too far. Notice that we have down here at the bottom of this says, you know, a lot of times people say, I know what the Bible says, but I know I'm supposed to love, fill in the blank, that person in your life that's really tough to love. I know I'm supposed to love them, but... Okay. Well, that's kind of like, you know, a soldier in the military saying, I know what the captain said, but how well is that going to go over? Okay, you see? So no, for those who are in the Lord's army, there is no, I know what it says, but, I know I'm supposed to, but, just do it. But again, the question becomes, how? How do we do that? All right, let's continue looking on. Agape. Well, two major parts that we have to understand about agape. First of all, that it is unconditional love. That we are to love, and that's the word that is used in this text. The word is agape that basically, first of all, says it is unconditional. In other words, I need to love
we need to love one another, okay, unconditionally. In other words, we can't put any criteria and say, if you do this or this or this, then I will love you. Or if you stop doing these things, I'm not going to love you anymore. No, it is unconditional. We love anyway. And secondly, it always has the other person's best interest in mind. Right? That is agape. Now, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Philippi, said this: let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others. What is that? Agape. Say, it's agape. Look out not just for yourself, but for one another, in the interest of one another. That's a part of what agape is all about. And the fact is, we need agape in our relationship with God because we are sinners. Okay? I am thankful for agape because that's the love that God has for you and I. And I think I know about you, but I'm not going to speak for you. I know about myself. I need agape.
Amen.
I need God's unconditional love in my life because I mess up an awful lot. And I also know that in agape, God is always, always, always going to act in my best interest. He cannot do otherwise because his very nature is agape. The Bible tells us God is love. So I'm grateful for agape, that God loves me in that way because I need it from him. And so, yes, we all need to be saying this: thank you, God, for loving me unconditionally. But we need agape in our relationships with one another because we sin against one another, don't we?
Amen.
We stumble and fall, and we hurt one another sometimes. And things don't always go the way that we want them to go with one another, do they? I mean, in a perfect world, then we wouldn't need agape. Think about it, okay? But the reality is that none of us is perfect and we mess up. And so, yes, we need agape with one another. If we are to live in family and community with one another, then agape has got to exist. And that's why Jesus makes it a command. Because we need it. Without it, we would fall apart as a family. You see, it's really easy to love one another when one another's are at their best, isn't it? There's no challenge there. When you, my one another's, are doing all the things you're supposed to do, well, it's so easy to love each other, isn't it? But when we're at our worst, that's when the challenge comes, isn't it? But that's when we need to be at our best, when others are being at their worst. When somebody is having a bad day, when one another is having a bad day, when one another is struggling with something, when one another needs that agape, that's when we, the rest of us, one another, need to be at our best and give them that agape. And here's one of the main reasons we need to do that, is because there will come a time when each of us will be at our worst.
Amen.
And we will need that from everyone else. Okay? When one another's are at their worst, that's when agape is needed the most. Amen. That unconditional love. Okay? A love that doesn't say, look, you messed up, go get yourself straightened out, and then come back and I'll consider loving you again. No, it doesn't work that way. It says, I know you messed up, and I love you. I'm going to do everything I can to help. Let's get this straightened out. So that whatever it is that's happened does not destroy us. That's agape at work. Okay? Again, notice what Jesus says in this text. This command that he gives, love one another. And notice what he says after that: as I have loved you. Jesus isn't calling upon us to do anything that he himself has not already done. And that's a sign of a good commander, by the way. Okay? Not going to expect those who follow him to do something he's not willing to do, and he already did that. In fact, we think about how he did it and when he did it, that he loved us when we were in the darkest point of our existence. The Apostle Paul in that verse in Romans 5 and verse 9 says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He did not say to any of us, okay, here's the list of sins in your life, and here's the stuff you got to get fixed. You go and get those fixed, and then come back and see me, and we'll talk about it. He loved us and died for us while we were still lost in our sins.
Amen.
And that goes back all the way to Mount Sinai when God gave those 10, what were they again? Commandments to the Israelite people in the law of Moses. And we've talked about this in a Bible study we did recently here that says, when was it in time that God gave those commandments? Was it before he brought them out of slavery or afterwards? It was after he saved them from bondage in slavery. And then he gave them that law and said, here's how our relationship needs to work. If you want to have a relationship with me as your God and you as my people, then here's how it needs to work. And that's what the law of Moses, including the Ten Commandments, is all about. And Jesus did the same thing on Calvary. He gave his blood and died for our sins while we were lost in our sins. In other words, beforehand. Now, in this text also, there is what I'm referring to as a declaration of discipleship. Okay? Now, this is a picture here of Gary a week and a half ago, Gary? About a week and a half ago, Gary re-enlisted into the Army. And this is a picture of his re-enlistment swearing in. And if you take a look at this a little bit closer here, okay, I want you to notice something about these guys. And there's Gary in the picture. What do you notice about all four of these folks that are in this picture? Okay, notice that he is wearing his uniform. Now, why is that significant? All right, because the uniform declares him to be in the Army. It is a statement in and of itself, isn't it? When we see somebody who is wearing a uniform like that, a military uniform, then the immediate thing we know is that is a person who is in the military service. In fact, our laws in America prohibit someone who is not in the military from wearing a military uniform with all of its insignia. You're not allowed to do that. That's against the law. Because if someone who's not in the military is wearing that uniform, okay, then they're giving a false impression to others who see them that they're in the military, and they really aren't. Okay? So wearing that uniform is a declaration to let everybody know who sees you that, yes, you are in the service in the military. John chapter 13, 35, the last part of this text we've been studying here, Jesus goes on to say, after tells us to love one another, he says, by this, okay, all people will know that you are my disciples. That's a declaration, isn't it? If you have love for one another, that's a declaration to the world that you belong to me, that you are in my service. It's a sign. Just like the military uniform is, that's the sign that people can know that we belong to Jesus if we have love one for another. So by agape, then, we declare ourselves to be in the Lord's army. We are, then, declaring ourselves to be disciples of Jesus. by the love that we share and show with one another. The world looks upon that just like we see the military uniform, and they can see that and say, that's a person that belongs to the Lord. And again, I think that's another reason why he makes that a command, that that's how we're supposed to live. Because part of our responsibility is to be declaring to the world Jesus, is it not? And we cannot do that effectively if we don't love one another.
Amen.
So it is a matter of declaring by the way that we're living our life in love, agape, with one another, that the world is able to know who we belong to, which army, so to speak, we belong to. The Apostle Paul puts it this way, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Look at what he says. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, look at what he says here, clothe yourselves. So, in other words, this is the idea of put on this uniform, is basically, I think, what he's saying. So, wait, look at this. Here's the uniform I want you to put on. You belong to me. You're in my service, in my army. Then clothe yourself this way. Look at what he says. With compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bear with each other and forgive one another. We're going to talk about that next time, okay? Forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, do what? Put on love.
Amen.
That's the uniform that he wants us to put on. And that love, he says, binds them all together in perfect unity. So we want to declare ourselves to belong to the Lord. Then that's the uniform we need to put on. So that the world, Jesus says, all men will be able to know that we belong to him. We do that not by what we say, by what we do. It's not by the sign that's on the outside of the building. It's by what we do. Whether we love one another.
Amen.
It's not by the rules that we follow. It's not by a specific order of worship or any of those other things that Jesus said. He said it is by whether or not we love one another. That's how the world will know that we belong to him. That we truly love one another. So, here's a question for you. As we prepare to offer an invitation to sing a song together, the question is, are you wearing the uniform? Are you wearing the uniform that lets the world know that you belong in the Lord's arms? Or people, perhaps, maybe they look at you and they go, I think he's in the military of the Lord, but I'm not really sure. Are you wearing the uniform? If you've never given your life to Christ, you've never declared him as your Lord and had your sins washed away in the waters of baptism, then you are not in his army. You need to understand that. And as long as you remain in that state, then if you die in that condition, you will be lost eternally. The good news is this. If that's where you are right now, you can change that. Okay? You can change it right now, this moment. If you're not a Christian, you're not in the Lord's army yet, but you want to be, you're ready to make a commitment to serve in his army, then declare him as Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now this morning. You don't have to wait. We got the waters ready back here, isn't it, Chuck? Water's ready. If that's what you're ready to do and make that commitment, then you can come up and let me know and we'll baptize you into Christ right now this morning. For those who have already been baptized into Christ and have joined the army, and maybe you look at your life and you listen to these things, you say, yeah, I've been in the army, but boy, I sure, maybe you've been AWOL. You know, that happens sometimes. Maybe you've kind of been there, but, you know, you're kind of feeling like, you know, my time, I've been serving, and I'm not sure if I want to re-up or not. You know, so maybe you need to re-enlist, so to speak. You understand what I mean by that, right? You know, recommit yourself and say, look, I've been doing what I need to, and I need to recommit myself to the Lord's service. You can do that this morning if you need to do that. There's something else that you need, something that we can help you with, and we need to know that. We can't help you if we don't know what's going on. So we offer this time of invitation. Dale will be in the back. If anybody would like to go and have a private prayer or conversation with him back there, and I'll be up front here to receive anyone who would like to come up here. Let's stand together and say.